Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Welcome back to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. It's 11:05 Central Time here in the good old U.S. of A. Tim with Fred and now Steve Paisley-Jordahl. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, everybody.
And Ray Pritchard's in Kansas City. I wanted to mention real quickly, we've set our, we're going back to the Holy Land in March of 2026 for our, we usually do this annually. Our trip to the Holy Land is scheduled and planned, and all the information is available. Now, in March also, my sons Wesley and Walker are leading a Footsteps of Paul tour that you can read all about. So there's two trips in March. You can do both of them if you want to. They're back-to-back. That puts you going from home about 2 weeks if you're going to do both of them, maybe a little bit longer, but if you want to go on one or the other, that's available too. So to read all about it, and we're already getting a bunch of people signed up. So to read all about this Holy Land tour and the Footsteps of Paul tour, go to this website I'm about to give you, WILDMONgroup.com. WILDMONwildmangroup.com. The itinerary, the cost, the everything you need to know about these two tours in March of 2026 is available at that website, wildmangroup.com. All right, Steve, what's the first story?
Well, if you have been, if you've gotten a phone call recently from somebody offering you some insurance, some cut rate insurance because they can do better, specifically if you're an older American, don't answer the phone. Well, answer the phone, but hang up as soon as you find out, because there is a scam going on right now in which people are getting called up and they're being offered a cut rate insurance. The people claim they're from the government, say we can do better for your Medicare, your Medicaid, you just have to send us a check for $1,600, and it's all good. And a lot of people have been taken in on this. Don't be taken in on that.
Have you heard about this, Fred?
Oh, yeah. And, you know, I think my advice would be if someone called you, you don't know. Your phone rings, and this happens to me, you know, they're trying to sell condo sales or whatever. If the phone rings and you pick up and they say, "Hi there, Fred, this is so-and-so, and I've got a great deal for you." Right away, you're going to say, this is a scam. Beware of people trying to sell you stuff over the phone. Mm-hmm. Just be super cautious. You know, a lot of people are facing increases in insurance premiums right now, and these are the kinds of people that prey on that, P-R-E-Y. Mm-hmm. They prey on older people. They know that they need insurance. They're facing big increases in their premiums. They set up these scams, and, you know, people, it sounds good. Maybe I can get insurance, you know, for $100 a month or whatever the case may be. No, don't do it. FBI, everybody else tells you over and over again, don't give out your information. Don't give out your bank account. Don't give your credit card. Just be super. Social Security number. Just don't do it. They are scams. They are thieves.
Yeah.
What they are.
Have you, has this happened to you or anything similar to this?
No. I have just recently, I turned 65 in March, and I am just beginning my journey with Medicare. so I haven't been targeted yet, and I have a feeling.
I'm talking about for any scams or anything like that.
No. I haven't personally come across any of these yet.
Ray, have you?
Listen. Evidently, those guys have a sucker list, and I must be at the top of it.
You're getting it all the time, huh?
I'm getting it all. Listen, I'm dead center bullseye for exactly the kind of stuff you guys are talking about, and I'm on the top of their list. Hey, call Pritchard. He's a sucker. And
have you ever fallen for one of these scams or anything?
Some of them, let's just say this way, some of those guys are really slick, very persuasive. They know your name. They know where you live. They know, right? And they know just enough to make it say, look, wouldn't you like to save money on your internet or on your car insurance or on your house insurance? And Fred's advice is exactly right. If you don't know who they are, hang up. You don't have to talk to them, right? Yep. You don't have don't give them your address, don't give them your phone number, and certainly don't ever give out your social security number to anybody you don't know. But yeah, Tim, I get those calls all the time.
And I don't know how you've dealt with them. You were a little coy on whether or not you fall for it, but if you fall for it once, you'll certainly get to the top of the sucker list very quickly.
Evidently, I must have fallen for it two or three times because I'm continually
there.
I'm continually getting those calls.
I've gotten these, and I've talked to people who've gotten these too, these toll.
Texts.
Yeah.
You get the text saying you owe a toll that's past due from our toll bridge or road or something like that. That's like sweeping the world, that particular scam.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you get yours, do they tell you what road or where it's from?
The one that I got said you were in Florida recently. So somebody, a hotel where I stayed or whatever, must have given out information or sold my information. Because the text said you were in Florida, and they even gave me this toll bridge. And I thought, wait a minute, I didn't drive on a toll bridge in Florida.
Right.
So I knew right away it was a scam. Then I started reading online, hey, beware. There are people out there that are trying to scam people to pay tolls.
Mine was from Denver. There's if you want to get to the Denver International Airport, the easiest way to do it is to go on a toll road that goes it skirts around the outside of the city, and then you can take off. And I've been on that road dozens and dozens of times living in Colorado going to
that
airport.
So the toll text that you got said
it's that – East E-470.
Okay, I'm wondering if these scammers know your area code.
My cell phone is
overlay that with, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, my cell phone is from, my area code is 719. It's from
There you go. So, they know your area code, and they relate it to a road or bridge in Colorado.
So I have been on the road, but I certainly haven't been on it in dozens of years now. So.
Anyway, just beware out there.
Yep.
Because there's a lot of hoaxes and scams and spammers and everything like that.
Yeah.
We all get the calls.
Mm-hmm.
And there are stories, Tim, especially widows, that they, you know, Jesus condemned those who rob widows' houses. And there are widows out there who somebody calls and they can lose everything.
Yeah.
They can lose everything, which is why if you're over the age of 65, you need some friends that you can check up on and some friends who care enough to check up on you, because these scammers have gotten very sophisticated.
I'll tell you another thing to watch out for is the occasionally you get a text from somebody you don't know, and it's a conversation starter. And they want you to respond.
Mm-hmm.
They'll say something like, hey, I'll see you tomorrow. Okay. Well, they sent that out to millions of people. I'll see you tomorrow. They want people to respond back to them.
Who is it?
And say, you must have the wrong number.
Mm-hmm.
That way they know they have a live, they have a Ray Pritchard.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
They have a Ray Pritchard out there who's willing to respond to a text from somebody they don't even know. Excuse me, Ray. I wasn't meaning to insult you there.
But it's true.
Yeah. So a gullible person or a person who's a person who just is a friendly person and wants to respond and say, I'm sorry, I think you have the wrong number. That's all they want to know is they've got a phone number that has a live active person on the end of it. So don't fall for that either. So anyway, you're listening to Today's Issue. Steve, next story.
There are some new refugees coming to this country. A dozen or more South Africans have fled the country of South Africa. They're farmers, basically. They fear for their lives because hundreds of farmers have been killed and farms have been co-opted. This is in the name of reparations for what they say was from the old South Africa that was apartheid, and now they're claiming reparations. They're demanding blood and soil. And so the United States has allowed a couple dozen of these to come to the United States on an expedited visa. This is the president talking a little bit about this. This would be cut 13.
Because they're being killed, and we don't want to see people be killed. Now, South Africa leadership is coming to see me, I understand, sometime next week. And, you know, we're supposed to have a G20 meeting there or something, but we're having a G20 meeting. I don't know how we can go unless that situation's taken care of. But it's a genocide that's taking place that you people don't want to write about. But it's a terrible thing that's taking place. And farmers are being killed. They happen to be white. But whether they're white or black makes no difference to me. But white farmers are being brutally killed, and their land is being confiscated in South Africa. I don't care who they are. I don't care about their race, their color. I don't care about their height, their weight. I don't care about anything. I just know that what's happening is terrible. We've essentially extended citizenship to those people to escape from that violence and come here.
Well, they are on their way. Not everybody's happy with it. I got to tell you, some aid groups that generally help with refugee settlement and take care of this, because these people are white, they are backing out of the deal, specifically the Episcopal Church.
Why?
Well, the Episcopal Church, in a letter to members of the church, Sean Rowe, who's the head of the presiding bishop, said that the government informed Episcopal Migration Ministries that under the terms of our federal grant, we are expected to resettle white Afrikaners from South Africa whom the U.S. government has classified as refugees. The request crossed a moral line for the Episcopal Church, which is part of the global Anglican communion, which boasts among its leaders the late Archbishop Desmond Tutu. So in light of our church's, quoting here, in light of our church's steadfast commitment to racial justice and reconciliation and our historic ties with the Anglican Church in South Africa, we are not able to take this step. And we're cutting off all ties with the government, period.
Because the people that are coming here are white?
Yep.
Yeah. This is critical race theory.
So we're for protecting everybody except white people.
Yeah. That's right. This is on your own. This is critical race theory on steroids.
Yeah.
Because of skin color, if you're one skin color, you're the bad guy. If you're the other skin color, you're the good guy. It doesn't matter what the truth is.
Well, the truth is there's good and bad people of all colors,
that's right,
creeds, and
right,
ethnicities all over the world, mm-hmm, and you have to distinguish between that. You know, and the, in this case, Ray, I've read about this. In South Africa, there are these white farmers and people who are being attacked for their ethnicity. And that's what President Trump was talking about. Like happens in other parts of the world, and has happened historically, where whites have attacked blacks because of their ethnicity. Mm-hmm. So that does happen, but it happens on all sides. Mm-hmm. And also around the world, you have people, they don't have to be a different color. They can be a different religion, though. They can be, in the case of Russia and Ukraine, they can be, you couldn't, you put a Russian and a Ukraine person side by side, you couldn't tell what, you couldn't tell the difference unless they started, you know, maybe talking or telling what their differences are. So there's a myriad of reasons why people go to war and hate each other. And I don't understand that the Episcopal Church is acting like they're making some kind of a moral stand because they're not wanting to help these 50 or so, I think it is, South African folks because they're white. Because they're white.
Because they're white.
That is, I don't understand it.
It's a suicidal, the government is allowing this. The government
of South
Africa is allowing the appropriation. I don't know that they are allowing the murders, or they're certainly not stepping in to stop them. But they are allowing the farms to be taken, and they're being given to black people, but they're not being given to black farmers. There are not enough black farmers. So basically you have a farm, or a ranch, it's been given to somebody who knows nothing about farming, and the production of food is going to waste. They don't know how to run it. The country is going into serious economic problems because of that. But I do want to introduce you to one of the good guys. You said there are good people on there are good people in the world, and there are evil.
There
people
are good
in the
and
world.
Bad people of all colors, creeds, and ethnicities, is what I said.
I would like to introduce you to one of the good ones. This is a an American missionary. His name is Josh Sullivan. He and his wife, Megan, have been missionaries in South Africa for 7 years. He plants churches, he preaches, and it was a month or so ago that he was doing a regular Sunday service and some armed men came in and kidnapped him. He was talking to Fox News this morning, and this is his story. This is Cut 14.
I prepared for him to take me or to kill me. I knew one of those two things was about to happen, and so I just started praying. But then at the last second, my guy threw me down, and Josh's guy took him instead.
Two of the men were there the entire time, and one of them was evil to me, would say evil things to me. I was able to tell them about the death and burial resurrection of Jesus Christ, you know, why I'm here, giving them the gospel. They had never heard that message before.
The men with him sprung out and got into a gun battle with police. All the suspects were killed and Sullivan was rescued. He says police only found him after taking a wrong turn.
Whether you're a believer, non-believer, that doesn't matter. What happened to us, what happened to me was a miracle from God.
And they're going back after they
What happened that was a miracle?
He was rescued. He was in a car, and police were looking for them. They took a wrong turn.
The police did.
The police took a wrong turn and stumbled upon him in the car. They got into a gun battle. He was in the car with three of his kidnappers. They got into a gun battle. All three of the kidnappers were killed, including, I'm assuming, whoever he shared the gospel with previously. I hope it took. And he was spared. He was uninjured. And because the police took a wrong turn and stumbled upon them, he was rescued.
Yeah.
Yeah, that seems to qualify as a miracle a couple of ways. Yeah. You take a wrong turn and you end up finding the guy. And, Tim, that's some good marksmanship right there. Somebody was guiding those bullets so that the bad guys were killed and the pastor was saved.
Yeah.
It is miraculous.
Yeah,
and maybe another part of the miracle, Steve, is they're going back.
Yeah,
they are. When God calls you to something, I'm going to be setting up a regular interview every other week with Todd Nettleton, who's Voice of the Martyrs, because there are stories like this around the world of Christians, not just American missionaries, but native Christians that are native to whatever country they're in, and they're being persecuted. The church is under persecution around the world, and you're hearing stories like this all over the place. Well, I knew what I was signing up for, and if this is what God has for me, I'm willing to pay the price. It's amazing.
All right, next story.
All right. We've talked a little bit about the problems at in New York's Liberty International Airport, Newark Liberty International Airport in New Jersey. And the problem they're having with air traffic controllers, they've had various outages where for brief periods of time, the air traffic controllers cannot see the planes. They don't know where they are. It's an incredibly busy corridor. It's a disaster waiting to happen. We heard from one of the air traffic controllers last week, I believe it was, who said, if you're going anywhere, do not at all costs go through or to Newark Liberty International Airport. And I have a report out from the New York Post, and the staffing nightmares are just incredible. Now, this airport gave its air traffic controllers 14 days of paid trauma leave because they have been they're the ones that are responsible for these planes, and they've been scared out of their wits because they've lost communication with these planes. So they've been given some days of trauma leave. Meanwhile, one air traffic controller and a trainee will operate every flight in and out of Newark between 6:30 p.m. and 9:30 p.m., pretty busy hours, despite 15 staffers being the standard.
What is your source here?
The New York Post.
Wow, they're credible.
Yep.
So I just don't see how that's legal. I would think that the Federal Aviation Administration, the FAA, would have a minimal threshold where if you go below 5, for example, air traffic controllers, when you're supposed to staff 15, you shut it down and declare it unsafe. I'm shocked that this is true.
Yeah.
One.
The Transportation Secretary, Sean Duffy, announced this morning that they have come up with a short-term fix for the technical problems that they've been having that's causing this havoc. But what will happen also, I think, in the meantime, and United Airlines, which has a hub there at Newark, they are cutting back some of their flights there because...
safety reasons.
For safety reasons, and delays that are caused when you don't have enough ATC, air traffic control staff, on duty. So they are making adjustments. But Sean Duffy this morning, and I don't understand the technology behind this short-term fix, but also he is saying we need billions of dollars to upgrade the whole system across the country.
Okay, I understand that, although I would ask, what about the billions and billions of dollars for infrastructure that Biden, remember that?
Yes, yeah. They did nothing in the 4 years they were in office.
I want to know where that money went. Why didn't some of that money go to our air traffic control?
Doge has a full-time job trying to track that money down. I will tell you that we learned earlier this week or last week that how old are the systems with air traffic controllers? They're still using floppy disks.
What?
They are still using floppy disks in their computers.
Mm-hmm. That would put them, what, about 30 years out of date, something like that?
Yeah. I was using floppy disks when I first started in the Silicon Valley in the 90s.
Yeah. Tim, you asked where that billions of dollars in infrastructure money went?
Mm-hmm.
It went to charging stations for electric cars.
Yeah.
That was infrastructure
that
upgrading?
That was the Democrat priority.
I got you.
All right. That's where the money went.
Yeah.
Do we have a second to play?
Go.
I want to play my favorite Trump clip. This was him defending his drug policy. He's got a friend he wanted to tell us about. This is cut 7. No, I'm sorry. Cut.
I mean, I'll tell you a story. A friend of mine who's a businessman, very, very, very top guy. Most of you would have heard of him. Highly neurotic. Brilliant businessman, seriously overweight, and he takes the fat shot drug. And he called me up, and he said, President, he used to call me Donald, now he calls me President, so that's nice respect, but he's a rough guy, smart guy. President, could I ask you a question? What? I'm in London, and I just paid for this fat drug I take. I said, it's not working. He said, I just paid $88, and in New York, I paid $1,300. What was going on? He said, so I checked, and it's the same box made in the same plant by the same company. It's the identical pill that I buy in New York, and here I'm paying $88 in London, and New York, I'm paying $1,300.
Yeah.
The fat pill.
The fat pill.
It's not working.
It's not working.
All right. Thank you, Ray.
Thank you,
and
Tim.
Thank you, Steve.
My pleasure.
Brad, my thanks to Chris Woodward, Frank Turek, and our producer, Brent Creeley. And we hope you have a great rest of your day. Keep listening to American Family Radio, and we'll see you back here tomorrow.